Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We've been waiting. You Clippers fans have been waiting. Heck, just your run-of-the-mill average NBA fan has been waiting for this moment. It finally happened. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard on the court the same night in the same game. And what a time for them to make their debut as a tandem against a team with 11 wins in the Celtics at Staples Center. So the home crowd getting really excited. And it wasn't just those two guys, which is one reason why people are so high on the Clippers, is because they do have incredible depth. They've got a Patrick Beverley, who's a defensive stopper, and now and then, while he's flashing those intense eyes, will also hit a big shot. He's a scrapper. Lou Williams, who has won Sixth Man of the Year in the NBA every single season that he has been in the league. At least it feels like that. He's won the Sixth Man of the Year award a dozen times. He is a lightning rod, a huge spark off the bench when he comes off the bench. And so this was a really good gauge for the Clippers. Really good gauge for the Celtics as well, and also fantastic entertainment for those of us who are NBA fans. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Good to hear from you. So really busy last 24 hours. So we not only had a show to do many of you listened to the last night, our hump show. But in addition, we were real busy with our social media over these last few hours when we were apart, when we were not together here on CBS Sports Radio. I appreciate so many of you that checked out our latest YouTube offering, which was just a segment of the show, but a topic about which I am passionate, using social media in ways that it was not intended. As it turned out, I got a taste of that on Wednesday myself. And so a lot of you responding to my clip on YouTube. And in addition, a lot of you writing back after you read my latest football column, which I really appreciate. And then we've had all kinds of conversation about the brawl and the fallout. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. So Steelers, Browns. Wow. Does it feel like ancient history? I don't know. It wasn't even a week ago, and yet so much has happened in sports since then that it does seem like it was a lot longer ago than that. But we still haven't seen the final rulings from the appeals officers. We know, at least at this point, that Larry Ogunjobi will still have to serve his one-game suspension, the Browns defensive lineman. He was kind of the last guy into the fracas. He came running in and shoved Mason Rudolph from behind. And so he got the one-game suspension. And maybe that was the easiest one for James Thrash to rule on. Thrash, who's a former NFL wide receiver himself, he's actually one of the league's appeals officers. He also heard Myles Garrett's appeal on Wednesday. And then Marquise Pouncey was in between. He was on Tuesday. And we're waiting to find out whether or not these appeals will reduce what are indefinite suspension, but six games for Myles Garrett plus anything in the postseason. And then three games for Marquise Pouncey. When I said seven, I was thinking total Browns game suspended. I don't believe that Myles Garrett will serve a suspension that carries over into 2020. I can't imagine that it gets reduced to the point where he is back on the field again this year. But I don't know that it will remain an indefinite suspension. I could see the appeal defining the suspension as the final six games of this season. You're out for the rest of the way. And maybe he doesn't have to reapply to be reinstated. He doesn't have to apply to be reinstated. So maybe that's how the appeal changes it. I just can't imagine that he's back on the field before the end of this season. But I could be wrong. That's my opinion. It's my sense. Coming up at the top of next hour, Jason LaCanfora, CBS NFL insider. Not only is he a regular guest here on the show, we love him, but in addition to that, you see him every Sunday morning on the NFL Today on CBS. So he's a guy who's always in the know and has a lot of sources that he talks to on a regular basis. So we'll ask him his sense about the appeals for Myles Garrett and Maurkice Pouncey and where that might go. So we're waiting on that news. And we're getting set for week 12 in the NFL. I can't believe that it's here. I can't believe it's the weekend before Thanksgiving. I spent some time with some friends on Wednesday evening, and we were all talking about our Thanksgiving plans. Whoa. My house is decorated for Thanksgiving. I've been practicing my pumpkin baking, but I don't think that my brain has quite caught up to the calendar. So we'll do a little bit of everything on tonight's show. Yet another huge moment for Luka Doncic. And as the Mavericks blast the Warriors by 48 points, it just blows my mind where the Warriors are now compared to where they were, say, 5 months ago. Gosh, how quickly life comes at you, especially in sports. So we're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. You can get yours at Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks for all your questions for Ask Amy Anything, by the way. I did go back and answer as many as I possibly could on our social media. It's good that we can communicate back and forth, right? We can keep it a civil, interesting, above board and not icky conversation. Like I said, I had my own bit of social media blackness on Wednesday. I'll let you go check it out. You can go look at it if you like to. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. So it finally happened. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard in the same game at the same time. It took a few weeks for this to happen. It took the right scenario where there aren't back-to-backs, and so Kawhi Leonard can play. It could be that way the rest of the season. Who knows? But the timing right for Paul George, and he's been fantastic since he came back, so it's good to see him healthy again. So a few weeks. We had to wait. It was like a big tease. But they finally come together in a game against the Celtics on national TV, and why not? I'm sure that wasn't orchestrated. I'm sure it just happened organically. So the Celtics have a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter at Staples Center against the Clippers, but there was still a long way to go before this one would be done.
Take it out, left wing, Smart. Three ball on the way, well short, rebounded, no good. And here come the Clippers the other way. Williams, right wing, three, all alone, bullseye! Lou Williams on Underground Goat Night connects and puts the Clippers up 95-94. Williams, screen to his left from Harrell. Bounce pass goes to Harrell. Kick it out, far corner, Beverly. Another three ball. Bullseye! Patrick Beverly, Mr. 94 feet, Mr. Clutch in Staples Center. 107-102, Clippers now up by five. Smart will inbound on the far sideline, 1.6 left. Walker, left corner three. It was blocked by Kawhi Leonard. The Claw saves the day, and the 2-1-3 connection is 1-0 in Clippers history. The Clippers come away with a victory, 107-104.
Noah Eagle with the call on the Clippers Radio Network. Did you hear what he said? They're 1-0. Forget what the rest of the team has done without them. They are 1-0 in Clippers history. All right, there's that. So Kawhi and Paul George combined for 42 points in their first game together, and with the help of Patrick Beverley and Lou Williams, and you hear some of the critical moments there, the Clippers rally from double figures down halfway through the fourth quarter. They force overtime, Beverley with a huge three that helped to make that happen. And what a game for him. 14 points, 16 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 steals, 2 block shots. This is Patrick Beverley, the eyes. They remind me of the eyes of Adam Gase, although I kind of feel like Patrick Beverley had them first, or at least they were more famous with Bev first. Intense and exciting. And he was hopping around and Staples Center was rocking. So he has the big three after an offensive rebound in the final minute of overtime. I tell you all the time, offensive rebounds are sexy, baby. And then Kawhi Leonard with the huge block of the Kemba Walker three attempt in the final second to preserve the win. And here's one way to make sure you are relevant in Los Angeles, relevant in the Staples Center. You don't get dwarfed by your brethren in the purple and gold. Well, you win your games at home. The Clippers are now 9-1 at Staples Center to start the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Before we hear from anybody else, including Doc Rivers, did you guys catch that? The call with Noah Eagle in the beginning of that montage, he said it's Underground Goat Night. Can we Google that? Anyway, we really want to hear it again. If you want to fire that up again, just so that I can hear it again to make sure I'm not mishearing Noah. Underground Goat Night, I think is what he said.
Take it out, left wing, Smart. Three ball on the way, well short, rebounded, no good. And here come the Clippers the other way. Williams, right wing, three, all alone. Bullseye! Lou Williams on Underground Goat Night connects.
Yeah, you can stop it there. Underground Goat Night. What is that? I mean, we know that GOAT gets used a lot of time. Well, I can think of a lot of sports context for GOAT. So GOAT being the acronym, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But you also have the GOAT, the animal. You have the GOAT that we use as a moniker when people screw up in a big moment. You have the GOAT that kept the Cubs from winning a World Series for 108 years. And we also have a nickname for Lou Williams, the GOAT. But why is it Underground Goat Night?
Like he's undercover. Like he's not that known as a goat in the league, I guess.
Huh. Well, if you're the goat, then you can't be an underground goat. Those two things don't go together. If you're the greatest of all time, people know it. Although I did say
Lou Williams on Underground Goat Night.
That he's won the 6th Man of the Year award every single year he's been in the league. And so he comes off the bench, but he plays 37 minutes. That's what happens tonight. It's pretty routine. 10 for 21. He takes 21 shots, which this is kind of interesting for me anyway, because I'm a nerd. 21 shots for Lou Williams is more than any other member of the Clippers took on Underground Goat Night. And so he took more shots than Kawhi Leonard and Paul George.
Take that for data.
Boom. So pretty cool, the atmosphere. And the first time we get to see these two stars together, this is what Kawhi had in mind, right, when he recruited Paul George from Oklahoma City. This is the idea. We have our own identity. We have our own superstar tandem. And in the case of the Clippers, we believe we have more depth than our counterparts in the other locker room. And it was a big night, of course, for Patrick Beverley, even though it was Kawhi and PG that got the attention.
We gave him a game ball. I didn't know we were giving game balls, but we gave him a game ball because he deserved it. I thought he literally single-handedly willed that game, you know, with his effort, with his rebounding, making plays. He's from Chicago. He's a tough kid, but he was phenomenal.
Good stuff. I love Doc Rivers, and of course, there's a tie with the Boston Celtics from when he helped them win the title, and just he's one of my favorite people in the NBA, and I think he's the right guy. Now, he really was close to losing his job, or to walking away from the Clippers, I guess would be the more the more accurate way to say it, whatever you might believe, mutual parting of ways. But I'm glad he didn't, because with his pedigree, the equity he's built up, of course, he was a point guard himself in the NBA, highly respected. This is the right coach for the Clippers where they are now. And potentially, now I know there's been a ton of disappointment over the course of the last few years, but even in their history when it comes to the playoffs, when they've actually made it. I think Doc Rivers is the right coach, the right leader, if they're going to take that next step and finally and completely shed whatever connotations come along with being a Clipper in the past. Trying to bury that past, baby. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Coming up next, Luka Doncic at it again. But just as amazing as Luka's latest triple-double, the Warriors, their lineup. If you want to find me on Twitter or Facebook, quick, without looking, see if you can name even three players who suited up and were actually out there on the court for the Warriors tonight. And no, naming the head coach does not count. We are just getting started. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Chest pass to Hardaway against Bowman. Put it on the floor toward the corner. Stepping back, can't shoot. Out to Doncic. Will rise and fire for three and hit it from deep left wing. Hardaway back to the flaring Doncic. Crossing over, stepping back, over Robinson for three. I dare say Brady's in the zone. To Doncic up the right side. Doncic crosses over, and from just below the hash mark for three, hits again. And for the second straight game, Doncic has himself a 17-point first quarter.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Luka Doncic scored 33 of his 35 points in the first half against the Golden State Warriors and by himself outscored Golden State in the opening quarter of a game that was soon to be a runaway train. Wowzers. It's incredible what a difference a year makes. I've said that about the NFL this week, but it could just as easily apply in spades to the Warriors. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. So Doncic didn't have to play a full game. In fact, none of the major Mavericks, the Maverick starters, had to because this was a game that was not ever going to be competitive. And so the Mavericks put up 142 points. They smashed the Warriors by 48. And yet again, Doncic has a triple-double. 26 minutes he plays, but he pours in 35. So he only had 2 points in the second half. 35, 11 assists, 10 rebounds. Kristaps Porzingis with a double-double himself. The team shot 57%. I mean, that says it all. Everything you need to know about the Warriors. Oh, and the fact that for most fans, and I don't even mean just marginal fans, probably even a lot of Warriors fans, you don't recognize most of the guys that are playing for your team right now. We had this conversation in the newsroom before the game or before the show, after the game. It's crazy that a team that went to 5 straight NBA finals and won 3 championships is likely going to end up with a lottery pick come next summer. You don't have Draymond Green playing right now. You don't have D'Angelo Russell playing right now. Of course, Steph Curry is out, and while he says he wants to come back this season, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't. Why not give him? He's slight of body. I know he works hard. He's in great shape. But he's a guy that takes a lot of pounding because of his position and because of his size. Why not give him the year off? He's played a lot of basketball in the last 5 years. And why would you bring back Klay Thompson, other than it might be really difficult to keep him on the sidelines? But by the time they get to March or April, season's winding down, obviously. Maybe a few games in which he's back. Maybe it's better not to bring any of these guys back. But still, it's the Warriors. and they've gone from five straight NBA finals to getting slammed by 48 points and being completely irrelevant. And yet they're on national TV so much. Steve Kerr, as I was just talking about with Doc Rivers, Steve Kerr is the right leader for this, though. Not only is he a guy who has kind of been in every position that you can, or he's seen everything that you can in the NBA as a player. He played with some greats. He worked in the front office. He's been around the block so much. And he also takes everything in stride. He was never too heady over the Warriors' success. He was always the one that kept them grounded. And certainly that humor and that perspective will serve him well now, as this is a season that is almost unfathomable for the Warriors.
He was fantastic.
Luka.
Right from the the beginning of the game. You know, he was doing his thing, knocking down threes, drawing fouls. So he took it to us. Appreciate and respect, yes. Enjoy, definitely not. Tough to lose by 48 points, but, you know, a break here or there, and it only would have been 42. So that's how we have to look at it.
See what I mean with his humor? A break here and there, and we only lose by 42. But the Warriors need that, too. And teaching, a lot of teaching, because you're talking about a lot of young guys who are playing the types of minutes that they might never have been playing otherwise, if not for everything falling the way that it has for the Warriors.
I'm more like the director at the YMCA than I am a coach.
Yeah, well, your team might resemble in some ways the ragtag band of merry men that you would get in a Y pickup game. Gosh. But credit to the Mavericks, and you hear what Steve Kerr has to say. I mean, Luka's fantastic. And Rick Carlisle even said after the game, you can't take it easy on the Warriors. You can't. You got to take advantage of these opportunities when they're there, because nobody feels sorry for you. Everybody's vying for the same playoff spots and the same hardware. And the West, despite not having the Warriors as a contender, is going to be extremely competitive, maybe more so than it's been over the past couple of years. Okay, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're going to hear from Patrick Beverly before the top of the hour. Oh, and these two things are not related at all. But Mason Rudolph, don't you want to hear from Mason Rudolph? I know you do. It's an interesting statement that he shared with the world. Took a few days, although that may have been a Mike Tomlin thing. Mike Tomlin may have been waiting until the water wasn't quite so scalding hot and boiling before he spoke, and then Mason Rudolph as well. We're still waiting on the appeals for Maurkice Pouncey and for Myles Garrett, but Mason Rudolph, he's got a few things to say about Thursday night. All right, so on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Lou Williams, pinned along the sideline, bounce pass to the free throw line. Harrell finds the open man in the corner. Beverly again. Another three for Patrick Beverly. Timeout, Brad Stevens. He's one of those guys, just can't make the shots until it matters the most.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
An accurate description of Patrick Beverly when it comes to the offense. And he was dead on. He was dead eye against the Celtics late, including late in the fourth quarter as they were forcing overtime, rallying from 10 points down against Boston and then on into overtime. Sean Grandy, so that's the Celtics play-by-play version. We gave you the Clippers version earlier in the hour. And sure, this game will be known for the debut of the tandem, the superstars, the dynamic duo. It'll be known for Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and combining for 42 points in their first game together in Clippers uniforms. And that was definitely a theme of the post game. But also it was Patrick Beverly who was the man of the moment. Offensive rebound, Paul George finds him for what was a huge triple in overtime.
I was so open, I didn't know what to do. You know, they get so much attention, man. I mean, it's crazy, and it was fun. You know, tonight was really fun, regardless of the outcome of the game. Both teams battled, both teams didn't give in. Tonight was really fun, really fun.
And definitely behind each of the clips that we've played, you can hear the raucous atmosphere there inside Staples. And so it's the Lakers one night, it's the Clippers the next night, and Los Angeles basketball is definitely in the spotlight again for the right reasons, not for the drama. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So coming up at the top of the hour, following the update, Jason Lockin for a CBS NFL Insider will join us. I'll ask him about the suspensions and the appeals. We know about Larry Ogunjobi. We don't know about Myles Garrett and Marquise Pouncey. So want to get his sense of how these appeals might come down. But in addition to that, just to, in general, the NFL's got a lot of pretty incredible storylines as we head into week number 12. And I'm blown away yet again by the fact that the NFL's ratings are increasing exponentially, while ratings for every other sport and pretty much every genre of programming on TV are declining. Now, they're declining at various rates, but they're declining. I am one of those people that follows a lot of TV websites and because I'm a sucker for spoilers. Anyway, I read a lot of industry news when it comes to TV outside of the sports realm. And even the most popular TV shows are seeing declining ratings. And now it's just a matter of the networks determining which programming is declining at the slowest rates. And those are the shows that are generally staying on TV. Even the most popular dramas, the most popular comedies, they are not seeing the same ratings that they have in past years. Award shows, hardly anybody watches them anymore, regardless of what category award show. And yet here's the NFL, continues to increase in its ratings. I'll have to look up the numbers because I don't want to give you numbers that are not completely accurate. But I did see a bunch of tweets and some headlines online about how the NBA is seeing just ratings that are plummeting. Despite the fact that you've got superstars in new places, you had a brand new champion in Toronto last year. The Warriors, I wouldn't say they're out of the picture, but they're not nearly as high profile. And in fact, you kind of feel bad for them the way things are going to start this season. And so the league is seemingly wide open, and yet ratings are way down. This is with LeBron in Los Angeles. This is with Russell Westbrook and James Harden playing together. This is with Giannis, the Greek freak. This is with these various teams who've made moves to put themselves in contention. Now the ratings are way down. So how does the NFL do it? How does the NFL buck that trend? Actually, that's a good question. Why don't you tell me? I'm with you. I watch it all the time. Why is the NFL increasing in its footprint and its popularity? Why are you still watching the NFL in ways that you're not watching other sports? It's a good question. A-Law Radio on Twitter, and then on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Let's talk to John, who's in Atlanta. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks good. For taking my call.
You're welcome.
I was wondering, what's your take on load management for the NBA players?
If a guy's injured, I don't even think it should be called load management. I mean, if a guy's legit injured and is nursing a bulky knee or is, you know, nursing some other type of injury, to me, that's about recognizing how long the season is and being willing to sacrifice, if you have to, a game here or a game there now when it's a marathon, not a sprint. So, yeah, I guess it depends. I mean, it's kind of interesting. And, you know, Kawhi Leonard being the example, the NBA was classifying him as injured. And there's this coach talking about how he's healthy and we want to keep it that way, which would definitely fall under the category of load management. I think the league would like to disguise it, John. Honestly, I think the league would like to pretend like it's not happening. And if they can possibly classify it as an injury here or there. I think it's unfortunate, but that's kind of the deal when it comes to teams that have superstars and they want to preserve them, especially with a guy like Kawhi who's had history of injuries. He hasn't played in a back-to-back in like a couple years. So I'm not a fan, mostly because of what it does for, you know, for those fans who want to watch this game or buy tickets to go to a particular arena. But I don't know that there's any incentive for teams not to do it.
Okay, well, I really don't agree with it, but I mean, if they want to do that, okay, Kawhi should take games off that's only in L.A., even though it might be a back-to-back on the road, but
right. Still,
he should never be, you know, allowed to take on-the-road games, because those Eastern Conference cities only get to see him once.
Yeah, no, that's a great point.
Yeah, so, I mean, you guys are asking for supermax contracts, and now you're starting to do this. I'm sorry. I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And like I said, I wish that the NBA could do something about it. But unless they would stipulate a rule like that, and they do have resting guidelines, who even knows what that means? But I agree with you. If you're going to take a game off, why not take a game off at home? When you're at Staples Center and those fans get to see you all the time, that's a really good point, except that that's what they consider to be easy. They don't have to travel. They get to be, you know, in their own locker room. They get to sleep in their own beds. And so players are not generally going to take off at home where it's a friendly crowd. Yeah, no, I hate the whole thing, too. I just don't know why teams would not use load management when the NBA doesn't really penalize it.
Yeah. All right, well. That was my opinion. I appreciate you. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for listening, John. Good to talk to you in Atlanta. The other thing I wish we knew is that if you were going to apply load management to one of your big-time stars, well, then why can't it be public? Why can't you let people know ahead of time, hey, this is a game that our superstar is going to take off? Now, there have been times in the past when Greg Popovich did that with Tim Duncan, with Kawhi, with Tony Parker, with Manu Ginobili. He would say in advance, and the NBA would get so ticked off because that way fans would be tipped off that this is not a game that you need to tune into, so to speak. But he would actually indicate in advance, this is a game that my guys are not playing. And so he would go through the schedule and he would pick. Now, I don't know if you're going to get, again, coaches to do that. And maybe some of them are not willing to make those decisions in advance. They'd rather take a wait-and-see approach. But as long as the NBA is okay with it, as long as the NBA doesn't really penalize it, then there's no teams are going to continue to do it. Why would they care? They're thinking big picture. And Kawhi has definitely played a lot of basketball, other than the one season in which he only played 9 games, which is not last year, the year before. He's played a lot of basketball because of how deep the Spurs had gone into the postseason and yada, yada, yada. It's kind of what I was saying about Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. If you're not bringing them back for some specific reason because you're challenging for a playoff spot, why bring them back at all? Why not give them this year? As much as it may be frustrating for Klay Thompson, he's not a guy who likes to sit out. So yeah, just it's a tough question. It's a tough, I think, challenge for the NBA. But teams are going to continue to do it as long as they think it benefits them. And I appreciate guys like Doc Rivers saying, hey, I get it. I'm a fan too. And I would be really frustrated as well. But what's the solution? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Producer Chris put up on our show Twitter this really funky picture of Tom Brady in a hat. I wouldn't say it's quite Cam Newton-like, but, you know, it looks like it doesn't belong on his head. And we want to know, why do you continue to watch the NFL? Where other leagues are seeing dwaning ratings and maybe some waning, did I say dwaning? I don't think that's a word. Waning ratings, dwindling interest. You know, I do reserve the right to make up a word here or there. Oh my gosh, I'm such an idiot. Anyway, why do you continue to watch the NFL was the question. Yeah, so that vocabulary fails me now and then. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Of course, it was the biggest story in the NFL over the last week, and that was the brawl at the end of Thursday Night Football. So here we are, heading into a Thursday, and we're about to go into another Thursday Night Football game. I can't fathom that on Thursday night, we're going to end up having any type of brawl between the Colts and Texans. Those two teams don't strike me as the brawling types. Certainly the Browns and the Steelers, with all their history, you would say that that's more apt to happen inside the AFC North. Mason Rudolph, he was looking at the cameras every now and then, but this was clearly a prepared statement.
Thursday night, to say the least, it was an unfortunate situation for everyone involved. I consider it a privilege, not a right, to be part of the NFL, to be part of a first-class organization representing the Rooney family and the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I fell short of that expectation last Thursday night. In how I played, I did not do a good enough job to help our team win the game. Looking back, on the final play of the game, the second-to-last play of the game, I fell short of the mark there, too. Should have done a better job of keeping my cool in that situation, and in retrospect, I put Marquise Pouncey, probably one of the best teammates I've ever had, in a tough spot, as well as my teammates. So the way I saw it, on the final play of the game, with the game in hand the way it was, it had been, we had already lost two of our players to targeting penalties from the game, and as I released the ball, I took a late shot. Did not agree with the way he then, took me to the ground. And my natural reaction was just to get him off from on top of me. And again, I should have done a better job handling that situation.
So Myles Garrett, he says, just took him down in a way that he was not thrilled. And it, of course, is the culmination of the end of a game in which he's thrown four interceptions. And it's just been a disaster. So I can understand why tempers are running high and why you're a little bit more defensive and why you want this guy to get off you at the end of what's been just a brutal night at work. So I like that he clarifies, in my perspective, this is how I saw it. And there's certainly been a ton of noise from various factions inside the football world that are claiming Mason Rudolph deserved it, or he had it coming, or he was asking for it, or that he deserved to be suspended as well. I told you my opinion. I think he deserves to be fined. Up until the point at which Myles Garrett slammed the helmet down on Rudolph's head, I think everything was just personal fouls. I think it was worthy of flags for personal fouls and fines. But to that point, I don't believe anyone deserves suspension for what had happened. It escalated, of course, with the helmet smash. Now, Myles Garrett is using precedent to claim that he can't be suspended indefinitely, number one, but also that he shouldn't be suspended six games, so the rest of the season. He had his appeal heard on Wednesday with James Thrash, who's a former NFL wide receiver, now is an appeals officer. But he kind of pointed back to an incident with a former Houston Texans player that we talked about in 2013, in which there was a three-game suspension for trying to hit someone else with a helmet. But the two games in the preseason, I mean, no biggie. We're going to ask Jason LaCanfora coming up next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.